Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
7:23, I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. John Day is talking to us from the United States. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Howard.
I'm not sure if you were listening to our conversation about the Olympic Games opening. Did you watch? What did you think?
I watched. I didn't watch live, but kind of words fail me. I mean, I don't know what to say. This is the best they can do.
It was to me. I just don't I don't understand it. I don't understand the whole idea of making fun of the Last Supper and then saying it's not. It's actually a Greek. Come on, like, don't do that. This is meant to unite and inspire. Surely, you can find a better way to do that.
Well, and I liked your discussion of, well, if you were offended, we're sorry.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah, yeah, exactly.
The non-apology apology.
It's bizarre. Anyway, it actually is interesting because this is, I think, part of the battle that the United States is facing coming up with this election, which is this wokeism and this idea of, and we've seen this with Kamala Harris very much embracing this type of language, identity, and value system. Is that going to be a problem for the Democrats, do you think?
Well, I think what you're going to see, and we're seeing some of it already, is a lot of backpedaling from the video clips and the comments in the past, from the last several years, because now the Harris campaign suddenly has to shift to the center or to be seen as moderate. But how do you run away from? But both parties are having this problem right now. But how do you run away from the comments in the past? You've got Harris and her woke positions, and you've got this J.D. Vance, the vice president candidate, with his, comparing Trump to Hitler, and now he's number two.
Yes.
It's both sides are facing, the reality of campaigning in the time of the internet.
And I see Vance also talking about the Democrats being run by childless cat ladies, which. Yes. Yeah, it's just not very lofty in its descriptions.
No, and that's taken on a life of its own. There's a lot of blowback to his bizarre comments. Is it going to hurt him with women voters? I think a lot of people think so. But then again, does the vice president candidate really matter in something like this? But so much, Howard, so much is happening so quickly. It's only been, 9-10 days since this whole campaign here in the States got turned around, with Biden withdrawing and everyone coalescing around Harris, and Trump trying to figure out how he was primed to go after Biden. I mean, that was their whole strategy. And now they've had to rapidly, and they've got to get their footing under them to figure out how they strategize against a totally different candidate. It's been fascinating to watch. I mean, it's not boring. That's no. It's going to be boring, Biden.
It was. That's one of the things I was really not looking forward to, is this whole Biden-Trump thing. Now it has become interesting, but a little bit more maybe dangerous as well, because the implications are significant. Has she chosen a vice president yet? Is Shapiro, is he the guy?
There are about three sort of white males here who are being looked at. It's Joel Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, who gets lots of very favorable remarks. I mean, he's considered a guy who can work across party lines. He's very, is known as a very decent guy to work with. There's this astronaut Senator Mark Kelly. And then there's, there's this guy, Tim Walz, who's the governor of Minnesota. I mean, all these guys are the issue is, does a vice president really matter? Does it draw votes? Does it hurt you? Does it help you? But it's kind of fun to do all the, gaming it out and figuring out who's she going to pick, which of these three guys, if there might be some others we don't know about or not being talked about as much. But you know, they're trying to triangulate around her former positions and get someone who won't be offensive and who will help her win these key states, basically in the upper Midwest, that she needs to win if she's going to win. And otherwise, Trump has a pretty good shot. It's tied right now. You know, the polling shows that everything is tied. So
I can't imagine, though, right now that it's a realistic time, because there's this euphoria, or this, whether it's manufactured or not, whether it's contrived or not, a push for Kamala Harris as this became a reality. I would have expected a spike and then for it to come off a little bit, but obviously it's interesting that they are tied.
Well, it's you're right. There is going to be a spike. It's going to even out. It's going to go. It's going to disappear shortly. Sort of this honeymoon period. And as you said, the idea that she has taken these woke type positions in the past when it was politically expedient are certainly going to come back to haunt her, because you know that is not something that is terribly popular with the general moderate middle of the ground population here in the States. I mean, the ridiculousness of the extreme woke stuff is something that they're going to have to deal with and live with.
One of the things that I have found, and I'm not American, so it's possible that it's just a language culture thing, but one of the things that I find enormously frustrating with many Democrats, Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, is half the time I don't know what they're saying. And they sort of talk, and everything goes around in circles, and it confuses me, because I end it without being clear what they're saying. They drop off sentences. They expect you to fill in the gaps, but you can fill in anything. And that, to me, is one of the appeals of a Donald Trump type candidate, because he says what he means. Surely that's recognized as, is it a concern there, actually, is the first question.
And Kamala Harris is well known for this. They call it the word salad, her speeches, where she's, these sort of, you don't even, as you said, you don't really know what the point is or where it's going. But you know what's interesting is the as you said, the sudden shift, the sudden wave of enthusiasm, which is encompassing younger people who were not not excited about Biden. It's it really has changed the dynamic, with the idea that sort of younger voters who looked at Biden as this 81-year-old guy they could not get at all interested in, suddenly. So that whole dynamic has shifted. And as you said, the speeches where you're not exactly sure where it's going, but it seemed to play to the crowd. My guess is they're going to be much more sharply focused now. You won't see as much of that from Harris and her side.
Yeah, given that she knows that she's being mocked for it.
Well, exactly. And they know what they need to do to appeal to this moderate center. They've got to move quickly from the far left into the center.
That is where we leave it, John Day. It is 7:32. John Day is a U.S. attorney at law, chatting to us from the United States, bringing us that perspective.